It's BBC Byroid Courtside.
Der Podcast wird präsentiert von VFM, deinem Versicherungsmakler. vfm-liebig.de.
Hallo Bayreuther Basketballfans und herzlich willkommen zu Folge 3 von BBC Bayreuth Courtside, produziert vom Media Hub Bayreuth und präsentiert von der VFM-Gruppe. Endlich haben wir den ersten Heimsieg im Gepäck und deswegen wird es Zeit, sich mit unserem Mannschaftskapitän zu unterhalten. Welcome to the podcast, Rayshon Mark.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
How did it feel, the first win on your home court in a Bayreuth jersey?
It felt amazing. It was definitely earned, you know, a lot of lessons leading up to that point, but it was great. It was all worth it for sure.
How do you handle a bad season start mentally? I think last year in Austria, you also started 0-3 and then won 5 in a row. So yeah. What's your mindset going through that phase?
Coach has a great motto that we all try to stick by, just never too high, never too low, you know, so never letting the good days get you off track and never letting the bad days get you off track. So we've been trying to keep that mindset and just keep the standard of work that we want to have and that we want to be our identity. And that's what got us to this point. Mm-hmm.
Before we talk more about Bayreuth basketball, let's go back to your basketball journey. Where were you born?
I was born in Houma, Louisiana.
I know. And actually, as you know, I'm associated with Bayreuth basketball for a very long time. Yeah. We have a Bayreuth and German basketball legend who was born in Thibodaux, Louisiana. Yeah. How far is Houma and Thibodaux away from each other?
Like maybe 15 minutes.
15-minute drive?
Yes, sir.
The guy I'm talking about, that's actually his jersey. Okay. And his name is Derek Taylor.
Oh, nice.
He attended LSU and is now an assistant coach of Nuremberg.
Yes, sir.
And he started his overseas career here in Bayreuth.
Wow.
And he was like our point guard for 4 years.
Okay.
And he was a very, very good BBL player and later on became champion with Bamberg and so on.
Yeah.
And I just had it in the back of my mind that Houma, Louisiana, where is that? And I figured out that it's basically like 10 miles from each other.
Yes, sir.
So maybe you have the chance to talk to him when you play in Nuremberg.
Yes, sir. I actually got a chance to talk to him in a cup. Actually, like me making the decision to come play in Europe, he was one of the guys that was brought up to me because he's like a hometown legend.
Oh, really?
For sure.
That's a great coincidence.
Yeah, so it was pretty pretty cool to be able to play here and then see him for the cup in preseason as well.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah, yes, yeah. And as I mentioned, he's a real German basketball legend and he knows especially the area here very well. And well, back to your origins. Who brought basketball into your life and when?
My dad, he played growing up. So as I can remember, as soon as I started walking, put a basketball in my hands, you know. And
Was he a player by himself? Or?
Yeah, he was a player, but he didn't play past high school. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he had like a tough upbringing in life. His mother, he lost his mom at a very young age. So, you know, he stayed with his grandparents and, you know, he didn't really have the guidance that I was blessed to have. So, you know, he kind of just let me know how important that was. And that really just made me cherish it and made me want to become a professional.
Mm-hmm. Did he have a favorite team?
My dad?
Yeah.
I mean, we always support the Pelicans. At the time, for him, was the Hornets' hometown.
Yeah.
But his favorite player was Kobe.
Okay.
So we watched the Lakers a lot growing up as well.
I see. You decided to stay in Louisiana to attend Xavier University of Louisiana.
Yes, sir.
How would you sum up your time in college?
It was a great experience, honestly. My decision to stay there was more for educational purposes. I was there. I chose a chemistry major. I was actually trying to be the pharmacist or a doctor.
Hmm.
And I think Xavier is like known for like producing like a higher rate of doctors there in Louisiana. So, you know, it was my main primary focus there was education. And then just I ended up playing very well, having a good few seasons to stack on top of each other. And that made me focus more on basketball.
I know that you were like the only Xavier player to ever become first team. What is it, NAIA or NAIA?
Yes, sir, NAIA.
NAIA All-American, right?
Yes, sir.
Must have been a big honor for you and the college as well.
Yes, sir. It was an honor. I actually learned a lot. Just earning that, it was tough. Just from, because I had a lot of trouble. Maybe like I was taking chemistry classes. I was missing labs. So it was kind of having to find a good balance of still getting my schoolwork done as well as doing well in basketball, doing the extra work. And then, you know, being at a NAIA school, it was limited on a lot of resources. So I remember, like, my last year, I would be driving 20 minutes to just get the proper weight training right after practice. And then drive back to campus, another 20 minutes to go to class. And then I would find trainers there. So it was limited on resources, but it was definitely earned for sure. Mm-hmm.
I think not many fans will know NAIA. What's the difference between NCAA and NAIA, if there is any?
Yeah, I would say, like, mostly it's all with the levels is money. Like with Division One in NCAA, they have like a lot of more funding than NAIA for sure. So I would say NAIA is just like more smaller schools. Most of the time they're attended more for like educational purposes as well.
Than like sports scholarships and stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure. But depending, we played some schools that didn't have many, but I was blessed that my school had a lot of full scholarships. So.
Is it true that in about 10th grade, when you were like 16, you were only 5'7", so 170 centimeters?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I actually, growing up, I remember I had a coach tell me that anything above 6 feet would be a blessing to me.
So. And you managed to do it.
Yeah.
What's the best food in Louisiana to help a young man grow tall?
Ooh, I would say seafood and baked potatoes. Uh-huh. I grew up on that.
And a lot of the Creole cuisine as well? Or?
Yes, sir. Like some jambalaya. Ooh, my favorite meal, smothered potatoes. Mm-hmm. Kind of make me a little homesick thinking about that.
So that make you grow to, how tall are you, 6'3"?
Yes, sir, 6'2".
Yeah. After college, you started your professional career 2022 in Palestine.
Yes, sir.
I mean, nowadays that sounds even more unimaginable, but that must have been a very special place for your first team overseas. Can you take us through that time there?
Yeah, it was very great people for one. You know, it was different. Same mindset. I had to go in there with a mindset of just really earning everything. I had a great coach from Greece that was there, who was had a great coaching career in Greece. Was making a transition to the Middle East, so it wasn't as tough as, you know, like it may sound, because I had a great coach there. He taught me a lot. Really helped. I wouldn't be here without him, honestly. Mm-hmm. With just him teaching me how to be a great professional and taught me how to read the game a lot better than what I'd known at the time coming from college. So it was nice. But Palestine was more so of a heavy, like a import league, I would say. Like it was, you would play 40 minutes a game, about, man, probably get about 20 shots a game, being like in that Middle Eastern style of basketball. So. It was tough. It was a grind for sure, but we managed to win a championship there, so it was nice.
How was it, like, besides basketball, living there?
It was pretty cool. I didn't really, like, travel around too much, so, you know, I would go work out twice a day and then practice in the afternoon, and the people were very, like, accepting to me as well, so it was cool. I would get invited a lot to dinners. I actually have some friends and teammates that I still talk to from there, so
cool. It's
pretty cool.
But you felt safe living there?
Yeah, I was actually in a city in Bessahor. I was like right outside of Bethlehem, Jesus' birthplace and stuff. Yeah. So it was a heavy tourist area as well. Mm. So like there, it was very safe, you know.
Afterwards, you moved to Bosnia and became the top scorer of the Bosnian League, as far as I know. But still, Bosnia sounds very different to Louisiana. Do you have some stories to tell from that year?
Like my head coach didn't really speak good English. So I was forced to learn their language a little bit.
Okay.
Just to like kind of get my point across. So at the time, I had to become a fast learner. I remember even in film, I had like one of my teammates was my translators there. Mm. So, you know, that was a little tough as well, because if he had a bad day, then, you know, he would be a little slow translating to me. So, but it was cool. Great food as well.
Yeah,
I loved the food. I loved the food there. I ate very well. And, you know, it was a good setting for me in the beginning of my career, though, because it gave me the chance to really just like narrow my focus down to basketball. Mm. Like, because that was really all there was to do there. So I remember it wasn't really much of gym availability, so I would be going to the gym at like 5 a.m. there just to get some extra work in. Then we'll have like 2 days with the team, and that was basically all I did. So
the cultural and language barrier should have gotten a bit better when you moved to Austria a year later to the BBC Nord Dragons,
for sure.
Still a different culture, but probably more Western than the countries you've visited before. How was your time in Austria?
It was great. Austria is probably right now like one of my favorite destination places.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's very beautiful. And then it just felt like a sigh of relief to just be somewhere that, you know, like the people there spoke some English as well and like actually understood me. So that felt cool, and that made my adjustment a lot easier as well. Even having like teammates and coaches that spoke English as well.
So the whole conversation in the organization was English, basically.
Yeah, for sure. So our communication was a lot better. I was able to learn a lot faster and just be on the same page as everyone as well.
Did you have the chance to visit Vienna, as Eisenstadt was quite close to Vienna?
Yeah, that was. I would go there almost every weekend. Yeah. Sometimes to go shopping, to just get a change of scenery and stuff like that. So.
And it's one of the most beautiful cities in Europe.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
There as well.
For sure. Very modern. It kind of reminds me of like a Chicago type city, like if I compare it to somewhere like in America.
Also very cultural, like old buildings.
Yeah. And it surprised me as well, like, just like how diverse it was, because like coming from like the last two places I was before, like it wasn't
only locals.
Yeah, so like man, it would be insane. Like sometimes I would just be seen walking around, and they would just stare at me like crazy because they, you know, haven't seen anyone like me. So me being there, it was a lot easier to just cohere with everyone, you know.
So as you were coming from a team with the letters BBC in their name, I think you didn't want to risk anything and sign for BBC Bayreuth, right? No, I think it's a coincidence, I guess.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
Was your plan to move on to Germany, or was it just the best offer you got, or what was your purpose?
That was definitely a plan. You know, just talking to my agent and my family before actually going to Austria, because after having a good season in Bosnia, I had a few options. So we knew that like Germany shops in that market. So, and we knew that that transition wouldn't be as hard coming from there to here. So that was definitely an option. And that was one of the goals set in the beginning of the year. So
what's the biggest difference between Germany and Austria, if there are any?
I would say right now the pace of basketball is a lot faster here. You know, great, a lot of like new basketball terminologies I would say that I've learned here so far, and a lot of good execution. And I think it's a lot better of shooting here as well. And just like I said before, just a higher pace, like a lot of early offense. You know, some shots that maybe that are good shots here last year, like I'm still adjusting to that because that wouldn't be considered a good shot, you know, like early offense. So I think just the faster pace.
And off the court?
I think it's all good, man. Everyone's great professionals. It's actually pretty cool just to see just the level of professionalism at the club. Like, I remember it'll be times like I was by far the hardest worker last year on the team. And then coming here and I'll stay, and that's a norm, to work out after practice, to work out before. Like, I'm getting here an hour before, and I got like three teammates walking through the door with me. So just having that level of professionalism, I think that's a big difference as well.
So you have to be even earlier to be the hardest worker on the
team. For sure, for sure, and work even harder.
After preseason, you were announced as our team captain together with Moritz Plescher. What makes a good leader in basketball?
I think a great leader, honestly, in my opinion, is a great listener. I think you have to be a good follower to be a good leader. So when that comes into play, you have to take good criticism. You have to listen to your teammates as well. And that kind of just gives you a foresight of what direction the group needs to head in, rather than just more so listening just to yourself. So I think the biggest quality of a leader is honestly being a good follower, being a good listener, and taking criticism very well.
So how did you steer your team through the last couple of weeks when you were struggling at the beginning and finally getting a convincing win at home? I mean, there was tough times for everyone, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Just talking to your teammates and...
Yeah, just really everyone just stayed together. I think it was a good job collectively from everyone, from the staff, from every player on our roster. Just, you know, because it might have been some days that I had some low points, some days that someone else has some low points, but we all just stuck together. And I think that says something very special about our team, Because it's easy to just to do the right things and good things when everything's going well, when you're winning, mm-hmm. when everyone's making shots. But through like adversity, like I think it means a lot how everyone was able to stick together, mm-hmm. you know, and have each other's back. And I think in that time it was a very monumental moment for us because I think we grew together as a team. I think everyone came together closer and we became more of a family and grew a bond that is going to be very important for us.
That sounds very optimistic because in tough times there are usually two options. Either you grow together or you fall apart.
For sure.
And as I heard from you, you grow together even more. Yes, so that makes us very optimistic about the future.
Yes, sir.
We have some community questions
okay.
because we posted an Instagram story yesterday and we received many questions for you. I picked some out. Actually, nearly half of them were from your Austrian fans.
okay,
and I don't want to leave them out. So maybe if it's okay, you can just leave a short message for the BBC Nord Dragons fans if you like.
Okay.
They might listen to the podcast.
Oh, man. Miss you guys for sure and wish you all the best. Without you all and the support, I wouldn't be here. I've learned a lot last season as about myself, about basketball, about being a leader, and that you all put me in a position to lead a team, and that got me to this point. So I want to thank you and love you all, man, for sure.
That's fine. From BBC fans to BBC fans. What was your favorite food in Austria, and what's your favorite food in Germany?
Okay, so it's a little biased because, like, I love Mexican food, but we had a restaurant in Eisenstadt called Taquitos. It was a Mexican spot. I probably ate there 3 times a week.
Okay.
Like, they would know my order, everything like that. So I think that was my favorite.
Your favorite place, yeah.
My favorite place. But I would say my favorite food, like, you have to go with the schnitzel. For sure.
Schnitzel, yeah.
Yes, sir, chicken schnitzel.
Yeah. Did you try anything in Germany yet that is, like, Germanish food?
I had... for one of our sponsor events, I had like a short rib.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, very tender, very good. I had that with, I forgot the name of it, but it was like some potatoes. It was like two balls of potatoes with like
a dumpling?
Yeah,
like that,
like, yeah. It was very good. Yeah, I love that as well. I have to take it easy on that though, so I don't gain too many kilos.
Yeah. I also got a question if you have already tried eating a döner in Bayreuth.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Love that for sure.
Yeah, it's the typical street food that everyone's having when you don't have a lot of time.
Yes, sir, for sure.
Another question is, if you could improve one basketball skill immediately, which one would it be?
I think IQ takes you a long way. So I'm constantly trying to learn more about the game. Just slows you down and just kind of just helps you read the floor better. So, I mean, like, that's my most important... Well, my most focus as a player, just developing my IQ and having that maturity on the floor.
What are your 3 greatest basketball memories? Could be your personal ones or maybe just a team that you were following or whatever.
Okay. Well, I'll have to list my first one. My senior year of high school, my dad, you know, he used to work a lot, so he was able to, it was one of the rare times he was able to catch me play on his birthday.
Mm.
And he had just turned 43, so I scored 43 points on his 43rd birthday.
Coincidentally, or did you stop scoring when you had 43?
It was coincidence, because I definitely missed like my last few shots. But
okay.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. That was a good memory.
So that's number one?
That's number one. I would say my first college conference championship. That year, that one's so special to me because I think that taught me really how to win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just taught me like the level of effort it takes and also to just be selfless, you know, to just knowing that moments like that are bigger than you. I think at that year, we had 2 of my teammates on that team were also professionals. One plays right now in Lebanon, mm-hmm. and the other one just finished the season of First Division Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
So we had 3 very good players who any night it could be their night, and we had to figure it out and how to gel together. So, you know, each night, maybe it wasn't my night, even I was feeling well, or maybe the other 2 guys' night, but that really taught me how to win and really put the team first.
So you're still in contact with your former college teammates?
Oh, for sure. I talk to them daily.
Yeah.
For sure.
Any third memory?
My third memory would be, I would have to say, like, the season in Austria last year, for sure. Just, like, just like the, you know, of course we didn't win the final, but
you had a crazy playoff run.
Yeah, for sure. And just being counted out like that, man. I remember like the preseason rankings. They had us like at the bottom tier of the league, and I think kind of it's crazy. It's a coincidence because I feel the same about our team here. I feel like we had a lot of quality, but it was just a matter of time of when we all just come clicking together.
Figure it out.
And figure it out, you know. And I think we figured it out at the right time. And again, like, just figured out, like, just how to have that effort and just have that championship mentality. And I think that helped us with that run. It was really fun.
Again, very optimistic statement for the future.
Yes, sir.
Another question was, what is the secret to your jumping ability?
A lot of plyometrics, honestly, and leg conditioning, like box jumps, maybe. Yeah, plyo, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then some good genes as well.
Sure, that helps.
My mom and dad.
If you didn't go pro, what profession would you do?
I would have been a doctor.
As you already mentioned.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe, not sure which kind, because I got accepted to pharmacy school, but before ball, I was thinking more so going like being like a surgeon type of route. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot, like a lot of respect for them as well, because I grew up being like a student athlete, so. And I would say, like, I always kind of put sports first because, you know, that's where my heart was at. But when I got to college, I was, like, I got around guys that, like, had that same passion and same work ethic that I had with basketball, with school. Mm-hmm. So, like, me seeing that, it was, like, it was just great to see, you know, like, how I went to camps for basketball. Like, they went to camps and stuff like that. For being a surgeon, like at 15, 16 years old. You
crazy
know,
so. Dedication.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool.
Last community question. Can you imagine staying in Bayreuth for the long term?
That's something I can actually see. It's a beautiful city. Love the fans here, just love the environment, the professionalism of the club.
And the locker room.
For sure, locker room. For sure. And just you know, just definitely building something here. So it's definitely, you know, something I can see for sure.
We have two games the upcoming weekend. What are the most important takeaways from the last game that you want to carry on to next weekend?
I would say for one, positivity, staying together. With us being a young team, sometimes that's one of the biggest challenges you can have is sometimes being a little too emotional, letting the situation define you. But I think, like, as long as we just stay together, and take just the energy that we had from the last game and just take the good moments, like us staying together. I think we even went into halftime down 4 points maybe.
Exactly.
And, you know, some teams maybe have some controversy about that, but we stuck together. We know that we played better in the second half.
You always did, yeah.
For sure. So I think as long as we just keep that level of intensity, that fight, and stay together, I think it's going to be a great season, honestly.
Is it true that the team decided Saturday night that you're going to play in the orange jerseys again?
For sure, for sure. We're going to keep playing them as the wins are coming.
Because of superstition or just because it worked out?
I think both. And I think they're pretty cool jerseys. It looked cool with the black tights and stuff as well. And, you know, just having some more color and giving some guys some more motivation as well.
And maybe this visual component, maybe it broke some barrier in your minds that game. Maybe it helps. We will see.
For sure.
Ray, thanks for stopping by at our podcast. All the best for the upcoming games this season. We have 3 more home games in a row to go.
Yes, sir.
And yeah, all the best for the remainder of the season. Maybe we have another talk this season, depending on how it goes. Ja, BBC Bayreuth-Fans, am Freitag geht's weiter. 19 Uhr Heimspiel gegen Wolmirstedt, am Sonntag um 15 Uhr gegen Crailsheim. Also 2 Spiele kurz hintereinander. Kommt wieder in die Halle, supportet unser Team. Die kommen wieder in Orange. Wir wollen nochmal das gleiche Erlebnis wie letzten Samstag haben. Danke fürs Zuschauen. Bis zum nächsten Mal bei BBC Bayreuth Courtside. Ciao.
Ciao.
Der Podcast wird präsentiert von VFM, deinem Versicherungsmakler. vfm-liebig.de
It's BBC Bayreuth Courtside.